don't know about you, but I am absolutely terrified of heights. I get the willies watching YouTube videos of these paragliders with a GoPro on their helmets jumping off 1,000-foot cliffs. It's really terrifying. And when it comes to life and death matters, I do the same thing that Jack did. I hang on for dear life. When God invites us to trust in Him, I most often look for human solutions to get me out of the fixes that I find myself in. As I look back over my life, the times that I have trusted God in His power, His ways, His timing, He has never, ever let me down. He has always, ever been faithful to fulfill His promises. The times when I have taken things into my own hands with my own power and my own timing and my own ways, it has never, ever turned out to be a good thing. So the big question this morning is this. It's a twofold question. Is this, first part, can we get to the place where we trust God implicitly? The answer to that question is a resounding yes. The second part of that question is, how? How do we fully trust God? As we've been going through this series of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, these past weeks, we've seen incredible faith. Abel. And just a side note here, I think Abel had a premonition. I think in his gut he knew. Abel knew that it was going to cost him his life to be faithful and to trust in God and bring a perfect and right sacrifice. Then you got Noah building an ark. Never before had anyone seen a drop of rain. This is crazy. And he builds an ark of safety. Abraham, going not knowing. God calling him out, and he goes. And then last week, we talked about Sarah having a baby at 90 years old. And now today, we're going to dive into the story of Abraham offering Isaac as a human sacrifice. This is a story of full faith in the power of God. When God asked Abraham to let go of Isaac, Abraham released his grip on his precious son, his only son, his son in whom he was well pleased. If we were to rewrite the story of Jack, according to Hebrews 11, it would go something like this.
Jack, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm down here.
I can see you, Jack. Are you all right?
Yeah, but who are you and where are you?
I am the Lord, Jack. I am everywhere.
You mean like the Lord, like God?
That's me.
Oh, please, Lord, if you save me, I'll do anything. I'll stop sinning. I'll be a good person. I'll follow you for the rest of my days.
Whoa. Easy on the promises. Let's get you out of there. Then we'll talk. Now here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully.
I'll do anything, Lord. Just please save me.
Okay, Jack. Let go of the branch.
What?
Let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go.
There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled out,
Geronimo!
As he let go, he fell from the branch. God miraculously caught him and set him back on solid ground.
Thank you, guys. So the question this morning is this. How? How do we get to the place where we trust and obey God, not only in the big things in life, but also in the small things? How do we trust God always, in everything? Abraham's life shows us how we can get to full faith in God, in God's power. When God asks us to trust Him, we can readily trust and obey Him. So let's take a closer look at the Hebrews account. And as we dive deeper into this inspiring story, we will discover four faith-building practices. But before we get there, let's have a prayer. Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing story of faith in you. Today, as we discover, rediscover, and examine this story, I pray for your Holy Spirit to talk to us, to speak into our lives. Show us what we need to do to build our faith and trust in you. So please be here. Speak to us, I pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow along as I read the scripture in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted," Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Can you imagine? Can you fathom? Can you contemplate the agony of a brokenhearted parent thinking about the death of their child and at their own hand? We can't wrap our minds around what Abraham must have gone through, what he went through. Our visceral response is simply, how? How was he able to carry out the mission that God had laid out before him? In Patriarchs and Prophets, in that book, Ellen White intimates or indicates that this was the most imminent test anyone has ever been called to endure. How did Abraham do this? Scripture tells us. It was by faith. In my own words, and this is what I like to do with Scripture. I like to put it in my own words and soap it. S-O-A-P. S is Scripture in your own words. O is making observations. A is making application. And P is a prayer response. It is incredible when you do that. Here's my own words of that. It happened by means of a deep connection with God that Abraham gave up Isaac. This kind of faith can only exist in the context of a very close and intimate relationship with God. This is what we know. The more we know God, the more we trust Him. Let me say that again. The more we know God, the more we trust Him. Which brings us to a very critical question that we've got to ask. How close would you say your relationship with God is? On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being non-existent, 10 being in the class of Abraham, where do you land? Where are you in, if you were to rate yourself in your close connection with God? Where are you? In our small group, we keep coming up to this bottom line, coming to this conclusion. Are you spending quality time with God every day? Are you listening to Him speak to you through His Word and into your life? And that brings us to faith builder number one. Ready? Simply spend time with God. There are no shortcuts here. Terry Pfeiffer is in our small group, and she has a regular dialogue with her sister, Paula, who recently explained to Terry her observation of her own devotional life. She said, Paula said, "My conversation with God is mostly one way. I'm talking to God, I'm talking to him, and there's very little room for and time for God to speak to me. She said, I think I need to be still and wait until God says something. Wow. What an idea. How would that look in your life? How would that be in your daily life? If you sat still and waited for God to say something to you, silent. What would that look like? Well, you might be saying, I can't afford the time to just sit and wait for God to speak to me. Listen to me. When it comes to deepening, building a deep connection with God, we really can't afford not to spend time with God. So let me say it again. The more we know God, the more we trust Him. Spend time with God. That'll build your faith. Second faith builder is this. Receive God's promises. Hebrews 11:17 says, Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his son. Receive, to be ready. The Greek word here is anadekomai. It's a compound word. Ana is the prefix, and it's a preposition, which means up, filled up, full to capacity. The root word, dekomai, means to receive, to welcome, to embrace. This is written in the middle voice, which means to do something on one's own for one's own benefit. Simply put, receiving means full personal interest in. Abraham fully opened himself up with enthusiastic gladness to the promises of God. 2 weeks ago in our small group, Wally Falahi brought an apple pie. It wasn't just your ordinary apple pie. This was the apple pie, and it had this crumbly, cinnamony topping on a whole top of it. And it was to die for. It was almost like a cobbler. And even though I had filled up on dinner and had an ample helping of said pie, when I finished it, I went back into the kitchen and I grabbed another piece. It was really good. And when I finished that, I snuck back into the kitchen all alone, nobody watching, a third time. And with my fork, I scraped the remnants off the serving spoon. You might say, I opened myself up with enthusiastic gladness to that apple pie, and it's right here. I received it. How are you doing in the area of anodekomai and God's promises? Are you enthusiastically opening yourself up fully to the promises of God? Listen to 2 Peter 1:4. Listen to these words. God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. How would you like to have a full dose of God's character and nature in you? Wouldn't that be cool? Promises. Promises are the way to get there. And it keeps going. What a promise that is. Then we could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. Are you having problems with evil desires in your life? Answer. Did I say evil promises? Is that what I said? Evil desires. Are you having a problem with evil desires in your life? Promises is the key here. Here is how we receive God's promises. Memorize them. Here's one that's going to blow your mind. Maybe you have this as a memory verse as well as I do. It's one of my favorite promises in all of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Can we say that together? All together. One, two, three, go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Isn't that awesome? God's saying here, I know what I've got in store for you. I know. And they're good plans. These are good things. Our faith builds when we spend time in God's Word, receive God's promises, and number three, recount God's blessings. It says in that verse, in our verse, God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Hindsight is 20/20 vision. Abraham recounted God's blessing. As we learned last week, God absolutely did a miracle. Only God could do this in bringing Isaac into the world. And from a human perspective, it was a ridiculous thing to think that they could have a child at their age. It was so ridiculous that Abraham and Sarah laughed. It was wild. It was crazy. But Abraham recounted what God said and what God did. Are you in the habit of recounting God's blessings? Times in your life when you see the hand of God and it's beyond circumstantial, definitely at work in your daily life. It doesn't have to be a big thing like getting pregnant at 90. We were teasing in our small group this last week. We were teasing Gracie, who's 90 plus, about having a baby. She laughed. It can even be in small things in life that we need to recount. Ed Foreman in our small group shared with us an amazing story. One day he got this impression to go get gasoline. At a gas station where it is more expensive, it doesn't usually go there. He goes at a different place near his work and far away, and he had enough gas to get there. But no, the impression was go get gas and get it now. So he obeyed. He went to the gas station, and he went at that time. And it just so happened that the wheel of his car was turned at just the right angle. The sun was shining at just the right place to illuminate a reflection that Ed just happened to look in that direction and noticed a screw shining brightly in his tire. He took care of business, changed the tire at the gas station instead of somewhere down the freeway at 65, 70 miles an hour or whatever he goes. We all have those blessings telling us that God is intimately interested in and directly involved in our everyday life. I marvel at the times when God has helped me find something that I've lost. And I've prayed, and moments later, guess what? I found it. Can I just say it? God is good. All right, let's try that again. God is good all the time. And that's the truth. What we need to do is recount God's blessings. When we do that, we build our faith. Spend time with God. Receive His blessings. Recount, receive His promises. Recount His blessings. Faith builder number four is turn your fears into cheers. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son. And the key word here is ready. I think one of the greatest fears that we face as parents is the fear of losing a child. When Jessica was just a tiny little baby, she got really sick. We ended up taking her to UCSF Medical Center, and we didn't know whether she was going to make it or not. Susan and I desperately clung to God's promises that he would not give us more than we could handle. 1 Corinthians, what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no testing has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. For us, the only viable option was to lean with everything we had into God for strength and courage to take the next step. My heart aches this morning because there are some parents here today who have lost a child. And it's not supposed to be that way. And the only way that you've been able to endure it is by fully facing your loss by faith. The 3 days and long nights, three nights, it took for Abraham and Isaac to reach the place of sacrifice were days of tremendous agony for Abraham as he contemplated taking the life of his son, his only son. Yet, he didn't waver, he didn't hesitate, he didn't rationalize, he didn't justify his way out of his fear. He fully faced it. He leaned even harder into God, who had always ever been faithful to him. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that fills you with fear? What is it that causes you stress? What is it that you worry about? What is at the bottom of that? We've got to name it. We got to take that, and we've got to release it and surrender it and give it to God, and we got to repeat that over and over again. Name it, release it, repeat. What do you want? What you want to do is fully face your fears. You want to make a 2-millimeter shift in your thinking and turn your fears into cheers. I recently heard a presenter talk about a sports writer who had interviewed Olympic athletes who were just about to perform on the highest level of athletic competition. They were going to go for the gold medal. These athletes, each one of them was experiencing the same exact visceral feelings of a racing heart, adrenal glands pumping out massive amounts of adrenaline, energy coursing through their veins, huge butterflies flopping around in their stomachs. Each one was experiencing the same symptoms as a person that was experiencing and facing incredible fear and terror. But when asked if they were afraid, each and every one, without exception, answered this way: I'm excited. I'm excited. They had made a 2-millimeter shift in their thinking and perspective. They fully faced their fears, leaned into them with a positive perspective. They turned their fears into cheers. And that's what Abraham did. He fully faced his fears, turned his fears into cheers. And we can do the same thing. Like Abraham, we can make that 2-millimeter shift and say with certainty, God will provide. God will provide. Let's see what God's going to do in this testing time. That attitude builds faith. When I was a student at Walla Walla College, my best friend and I discovered a little alpine lake nestled high up in the Wallowa Mountains. Wallowa Mountains are in eastern Oregon. They're called the Swiss Alps of America. Absolutely gorgeous. This little lake called Ice Lake was 8,000 feet in elevation. It was 8 grueling miles of hiking in, 4 miles of which were switchback. But once you get crest over the edge of the lake, your eyes are met by this majestic panoramic view of mountain peaks cradling this pristine alpine lake. At the end of spring quarter one year, we decided that we were going to go up there, hike back up in there, and haul big truck tire inner tubes with us. In previous visits, we had discovered there were majestic, magnificent snowfields that descended down onto the frozen lake. How cool would it be to pump up those inner tubes and go on the ride of our life? And that's exactly what we did. In nothing but hiking boots and jean cutoffs, we went out and we started to build up our courage and confidence. We started low and slow. We picked slides that were not too massive and scary, things, stuff that we thought we could handle. My buddy and I decided we were going to take turns going first. As we were progressing towards deeper and steeper snowfields, our courage and confidence grew. Then we came upon the ultimate snowfield. It was about 800 feet high in elevation, and it was about 900 feet long, so you can tell how steep it was. We got up there to the top, and we carefully picked the line we were going to go down, the fall line, trying to avoid the outcropping of rocks over here and the little tree over there. And as the run started, it started off at a kind of a moderate incline, and then it dropped off quickly, only to level out again and then drop a second time and then out onto the lake. We were really scared, and we were excited at the same time. It was his turn to go first, and I was so glad. Finally, he mounted his tube and slowly started to slide down the run. His speed rapidly increased as he went over the first knoll and completely disappeared from my view. The only thing I saw was his tennis visor, powder blue tennis visor, fly up into the air. He was going so fast. I saw momentarily over as he went crested over the second knoll and disappeared. The next thing I saw him shoot out onto the lake. I was laughing so hard, and I was so scared that I peed my pants. Because I knew that I was going to go next, and I was going to go faster and farther than he did because I was going to go in his tracks. We had an absolute riot going down that slide multiple times. Here's the point. Our faith is built. Our faith grows over time through testing. Our confidence in God builds each time we go steeper and deeper. God brought Abraham through fearful times, times where his faith was tested, and with each testing time, Abraham built his faith. His faith in God grew stronger. His confidence in God deepened. He came out on the other side, blessed beyond all measure. How about you? Are you ready to take the leap of faith? Are you ready to let go of your insecurities, your fears, and trust God who is able to provide? Can you build your faith? You can. You can build your faith by turning your fears into cheers, fully facing your fears with a God can do it attitude. Spending time with God daily, sitting there in the quiet time of the day and listening to God speak to you through His Word, recounting His blessing, listing the times when God has been there for you, you can see the hand of Him working in your life, receiving His promises, fully embracing and engaging in God's promises. you can build your faith. Let's be about building our faith. What do you say? What do you say that we be found faithful? Would you stand? Let's have a prayer. Oh God, you are always faithful. You are all powerful. You are able. Forgive us for the times in our life when we so often doubt. We often take things into our own hands and we try to fix the fixes that we're in. But only you can do that. Give us courage to face our fears fully. Help us to spend time with you, God, to get to know you, that you are faithful and trustworthy. Help us to recount the blessings and bring into our lives your promises. Help us to be people of faith. We pray this and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Let's sing our song together. Blessed be the tide that binds. God be with you. Oh, that's the... Man, I practiced the wrong song. Oh, God be with you. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna.